So, is the globalist New World Order delayed now?
How big was the evangelical vote in the election?
81% white evangelical turnout. To give you an idea, Gordon, in 2016, he had 80% white evangelical turnout. That's how the polls signify it or determine it in terms of how they classify it, I should say. It was 80% in 2016. It took a dip in 2020 to 76%, and then last night, 81%. So once again, impressive. And the Catholic vote, even more impressive, a 13-point swing, 13 points better. Donald Trump lost the Catholic vote to Joe Biden in 2020. He was up 13 points last night with Catholics across the country.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of today's programming, Jan talks to longtime friend and ministry partner Bill Koenig, who serves in the White House Press Corps. Later in the hour, we are joined by Pastor Josh Schwartz, Ken Michael, and their very special guest. Here is today's programming.
The main thing is the premise of eye to eye is when we apply, American presidents apply pressure on Israel to divide their covenant land, or in other words, to create an Arab state in Judea and Samaria, we have massive record-setting events, corresponding events. It's usually within the same day or within 24 hours. And I've noticed from over 20 years of documenting this, the greater the pressure on Israel to divide their land, the greater the corresponding catastrophe. We have 40 record hurricanes in the U.S., all connected to what we were doing with Israel at the time of the hurricane. Three of the four largest tornado outbreaks also have a connection to what we were doing with Israel at the same time. And also 9/11, 17 days from 9/11, President George W. Bush was working on dividing the covenant land of Israel.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio. And there's so much of significance happening today, quite frankly, on an hourly basis. And one of the best go-to sources I know would be Bill Koenig, who serves in the White House Press Corps. I began working with Bill, I believe, back in 2002. It's hard to believe. And he has served three presidential administrations. I will mention his book a little bit later, Eye to Eye. And I want to make one comment before I bring Bill Koenig on, and that is reflecting back on our election now a couple weeks ago. And I think that most Americans, they simply said in their voting that they did not want the fundamental transformation of America. And we began hearing that term in 2008, 2009, and then millions elected a man who began that transformation. But on November 5th, 2024, millions of Americans said, enough is enough. We reject globalism, socialism, all the isms. We want liberty, not tyranny. We don't want open borders. We don't want hyperinflation, abortion, deification, the transgendered mania, crime wave, the green obsession, none of these things. And we also don't want to marginalize our best ally, Israel. Bill Koenig, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jan. Great to be with you as always.
What did you think? Would you agree with my opening couple of comments?
Totally. It's just a remarkable election. I think that we kept hearing from mainstream media and people on the left that it was going to be a close race, but Harris was going to be successful. And I think the left is just completely shocked by what happened. It was a significant victory by Trump. Once again, the media and the social networks don't understand a majority of the American people. Sure, President Trump had his challenges and issues. And I think in some ways they admired what was thrown at him. It was lawsuit after lawsuit, two attempted assassinations. It was a maligning in the press, what he had to go through in New York with those legal cases. And he's a fighter. He stood in. And I tell you, not many people or very few of any people on this planet could have put up with what President-elect Trump went through. And I think it's the fact that the White House will be in the hands of the Republicans. The Republicans will have the House, the Senate, and the White House is very significant. I think it's also a blessing. God answered the prayers of the saints. We prayed for mercy. There was an incredible amount of prayer being lifted across the country and even around the world. We were in Europe and in Israel. People were hoping, Christians, that President Trump would be successful. So with the answered prayers, with God's mercy, there's going to be a lot of responsibility for us, Jan, as believers to take this victory and to do something with it, to honor the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So I have an article in front of me from Prophecy News Watch online. The headline is the globalist New World Order delayed? And then their answer, the rebalancing of power as Trump returns. Let me read one paragraph, Bill. And they write, Trump's anti-globalist stance, already well known from his first term, is expected to impact the direction of international relations with UN leaders and global figureheads, pondering how to navigate what could be a fundamental shift away from multinational corporation and centralized global governments. If I put that in a sentence, we all know what it means. Donald Trump is a nationalist, not a global government guy. So what do you think's going to happen?
It's going to be a battle of epic proportion. The other side has been doing this for 30, 40 years, the World Economic Forum, the globalists, the central banks. When you look at the major Wall Street firms of BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, I think BlackRock's right now controlling $13 trillion. It's a massive amount of money. Those three have a major investment in 80% of the top companies in America. They have great influence. We also saw all the cases in the court system, even though President Trump was successful in putting 200 conservative judges in place in his last term. Nonetheless, we've watched court after court still have a democratic liberal influence. So they're still a formidable foe. We've also have the governor of California, governor of New York, who've already said some posturing. I think there's a lot of things to be excited about, but I'm much more thankful that it's in the hands of conservatives than it would have been the other way around. If Harris had been successful, the Democrats would have controlled the House and Senate. The bottom line here, Jan, is the war's not over. The other side has invested trillions of dollars. And I think a couple of days after the November 20 election, Attorney Sidney Powell said the globalists had $3 trillion riding on the outcome of the 2020 election. And that's $3 trillion plus. So there's still a tremendous amount of money riding. You've had so many programs on digital currency, future currencies, One World Order. Michelle and you have done a great job on talking about the World Health Organization and some of their plans, the immigration issues that we're dealing with. Those haven't gone away. They're just going to reposture. And something that I mentioned to you off the air, the Democrats are very effective at operating in a minority, where the Republicans are like deer's eyes in headlights. Republicans are not very good in the minority. The Democrats are very effective because they control mainstream media and also the social networks. So a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, but there's a lot of work ahead, and a lot of that needs to be done through on our knees, prayer, and praying for our country, praying that our country will turn back to our Lord. And one last note here, just like the event that was held a week before the election down in Georgia, we need to repent. We need to get things back in order. With all that said, Jan, the players are still in place. We just have a little bit more reason to be optimistic at this point.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have on the line Bill Koenig. You've heard his voice before. You can learn more at watch.org. Look into his book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. You heard my opening one-minute clip of Bill explaining what that whole mindset is all about, how it's played out over many, many years. Bill, I'm just going a little bit off script for a moment because I think many of us were caught a little bit off guard with this whole push for what they call themselves evangelicals for Harris. Christianity Today magazine, Ed Stetzer, Russell Moore, David French, Ray Ortland, Gospel Coalition. And what are they thinking when religious liberty was hanging in the balance during that election before and after, and so much of what we stand for could have been ripped away by a godless administration? Are you in touch with any of these people, or what do you think is going on here?
I'm not in touch with them, Jan, but any time that they actually stand for a political party that favors abortion, that is incredibly committed to LGBT. And I wrote a commentary in August 2020. There are 34 items within the Democratic platform and agenda that are in direct opposition to the scriptures. And I use the statement and the belief and the agenda item along with the scripture to prove that. And obviously, President Trump has his issues, and he's commander in chief. He's not the theologian in chief, but nonetheless, he has done more and been more pro-evangelical than any president we've had. He has a prayer group. Michelle Bachmann has been part of that. And he is very serious about the support of the evangelical community in the previous administration, during this election, and now, where in the past, like President George W. Bush, was more favorable to the Protestants and Catholics. And one other thing that's important to your listeners is President Trump, with the help of Ambassador David Friedman, did more for Israel than all our presidents combined, and most importantly, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, clearly the names I just named don't even share our theology, Bill. And maybe this is what it comes down to. Theology matters. If you're going to embrace the theology of a Russell Moore, Ray Ortland Gospel Coalition, etc., Christianity Today, they're not going to be anticipating that the king is coming and Israel is not their focus. Perhaps that makes it easy for them to beat up on the president that's so pro-Israel.
And that's exactly right, Jane. You said it well, and we followed those men for quite a while, and they've said things that are just totally in opposition to the scriptures, and their thinking is flawed, unfortunately. I think it's so important. I mean, here we have 35-40% of our church that's evangelical, born again, that studies Genesis to Revelation. That's the Word of God. Where the Protestants and Catholics make up 65% of the church, replacement theology part of the church, believes that Bible prophecy, which is 27% of our Bible, is allegorical and not literal, and they see no biblical significance to the state of Israel today. And I emphasize born again, Jan, yeah. That's so important to really have the truth within us.
I'm moving on, Bill Koenig. Again, learn more at watch.org and sign up for his weekly e-newsletter. I've gotten it for at least 15 years here. All right, we're in a time of transition, Bill. We've got 2 months left, and my goodness, all sorts of things can happen in that time. Let me just remind the audience again, you served in the White House press corps, and you still do. You were under George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, first administration. Tell me, what policies do you think will change with Donald Trump, new administration, and particularly that would affect my listeners?
One thing is obviously immigration. Mm-hmm. He's brought Tom Homan on to head that up. Is we got to close the borders and stop what we saw for 4 years under Biden and Harris. The second thing is gaining control of inflation. Most of our inflation has to do with the price of oil and gas. I remember right after Biden took office, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, which would have brought a million extra barrels a day into the United States. I also remember what T. Boone Pickens, the late great Texas oilman, said during Trump's term, is we are sending $500 billion to the Middle East every year that should be staying in the United States. In other words, we should be drilling with these assets that we have, the oil and gas, and utilize these assets rather than sending $500 billion a year. That's a tremendous yeah. amount of money. So I think there's going to be a big start on inflation. I think the other thing is he wants to see some kind of peace worked out with Israel and their neighbors. And also, I think we'll see once again the Iran nuclear thing yeah. coming under consideration. I think it's over $100 billion transferred to Iran, Jan, during the Biden-Harris time in office, because they relinquished a lot of those sanctions that Trump had put in place to penalize them. So I think that's going to be a factor, and I think we're going to continue to see conservative judges put on the bench. I think initially those are the three or four that we'll see the quickest response on.
Okay, but this current administration is pro-Iran, totally pro-Iran. We might as well say pro-terrorists. The new administration is going to be just the opposite, correct?
That's correct. Benjamin Netanyahu has already had three conversations yes. with President Trump since election. And there is nobody that understands the threat of Iran. And no one is more eloquent than Netanyahu. And they've already had the conversation. President Trump sees Iran for what it is. That's why he got out of the nuclear deal the first time. He had such an amazing ambassador, Ambassador David Friedman, who did a remarkable job for the president. And isn't it interesting? He got a lot of support. There's a lot of Arabs that live in Michigan. And he got a tremendous amount of support from some of the Muslim leaders in Michigan because they felt that he was committed to stopping the war.
Bill, he also, Trump won many Somalis in Minnesota, many. They had a press conference, the local Somali community, a week before the election, and they came forth and said, the Democrat Party fooled us. We thought they were our friend, but they are not. Now, remember, the Somali community is pro-family, they don't like the trans. A lot of things the Democrats are pushing, the Somalis have said enough is enough. So it's one thing, Bill, for me to come on and say, I'm saying enough is enough. You're saying enough is enough. Other evangelicals, enough is enough. Some Muslims are saying enough is enough. I can't get over that. That's astounding happening.
Fascinating. I wasn't aware of that, Jan. I was certainly aware of what was going on in Michigan. Yeah. And that's just a prime example. The Democratic Party is, I think what we've seen is the progressive, kind of laugh about that word. Progressive means progress. Well, it's gone the other direction for them. And that influence cost the election.
So you made a reference to, in talking about Trump and Israel, he'll probably come up with a peace treaty. All right, I have people writing me saying, sure, Jan, he's going to come up with a peace treaty, and Israel's going to fall for it, and that's because what he's doing is Antichrist-esque. He may not be the Antichrist, but they say he's paving the way, or maybe he is. You and I know that isn't the case. So when I hear peace treaty, I guarantee you emails are going to come in to me and saying, well, see, this is what I told you. An apocalyptic peace treaty is on the horizon, is what some are saying. Your thoughts?
Very interesting comment. One thing is fascinating right now, Ambassador Freeman, who's very, very close with President Trump and has been an advisor, just came out with a book, The One Jewish State, that says that Israel has a sovereign right to Judea and Samaria. I was at a conference at Middle East Summit, Tanya and I were in Jerusalem, and it was a 4.5-hour event that spoke of Israel's biblical right to Judea, Samaria. So that's interesting. The other thing is President Trump's daughter, Tiffany, married a Lebanese billionaire's son. And supposedly, I understand that he, with Trump's approval, talked to Abbas about sitting down and working out some kind of an arrangement that would be suitable to the Palestinians and also the Israelis. The other thing we're watching is the Saudi-Israel normalization agreement. I might add, around September 22nd, 2022, Benjamin Netanyahu was at the UN General Assembly with his graphics talking about a new Middle East and the possibility that the Israelis and Saudis were about to have a normalization agreement approved. That same week, Bin Salman was on US TV, Crown Prince Bin Salman, stating that Israel and the Saudis were about to cut a deal. 15 days later, October 7th happened, and life as we know it for Jewish people within Israel around the world has changed dramatically. I think there's going to be an Abrahamic Accord push.
Okay.
Jen, I don't know if we're at the Daniel 9:27 7-year covenant stage yet.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Bill, let me just, in the interest of time, let me go down a similar path here because I'm not changing the subject. Because when we connected here, I asked you, was there an eye-to-eye connection? And I opened with a clip of you explaining the idea, well, your formula behind eye-to-eye. We don't have to give it again. You gave it clearly. How do we connect Hurricanes Helene and Milton with eye-to-eye?
Well, Helene happened. It just started on a Monday, right at the time the UN General Assembly was beginning. And there were scathing comments by the speakers about Israel. Also, the White House was pushing the two-state deal. There was comments coming out that the Biden administration was keeping weapons from Israel that they needed in their war with Hamas and Hezbollah. There was a lot of pressure from Biden and Macron on a ceasefire talk on the situation in Lebanon, also in back channels with Israel and Hamas. And that became a monster storm in a short period of time. And the same thing happened the following week with Milton. Started right at the time there was extraordinary pressure to do the ceasefire, to go back to the two-state talks, and also ceasefire talks once again with Hamas and Israel. And at the same time, we were hearing, Jan, also back-channel conversations were taking place with Israel and the Saudis on a normalization agreement that they were going to try to get completed before the end of the year.
Well, America was withholding weapons as well, correct?
Absolutely. And that, I tell you, the weapon holding back, you can almost feel the collective fury or the fire, or the wrath of the God of Israel. Number one, the talks of an Arab state in Judea and Samaria. And number two, taking weapons from Israel, not allowing them to defeat their enemy. And you could feel this fury and fire.
All right. I have another headline in front of me. This isn't changing the topic here at all. Again, it's Prophecy News Watch. Headline is, will Democrats look for revenge on Israel in final weeks of power? It's by Caroline Glick. Whenever Caroline says something, we pay attention. I'll read one paragraph. She says, to understand the immediate requirements, we need to remember what happened during Barack Obama's final months in office. No longer concerned about winning an election December 2016, the Obama administration decided the time had come to punish Israel for opposing its nuclear appeasement of Iran and for rejecting its efforts to establish a Palestinian terrorist state. That month, America's UN ambassador, Samantha Power, drafted an anti-Israel resolution, and I think we all know how that article plays out. I'm not going to read anymore. Declared all Israeli presence beyond the 1948 armistice line, including Western Wall, illegal. I'm going to stop there. So I go back to the premise of the article. Will the Democrats look for revenge on Israel in final months of power? Give me your thoughts. I think they will, by the way. We just don't know how it's going to play out.
You and I both really appreciate Carolyn Glick and her gift, and she's usually spot on. They might attempt that, Jan. I know that they're still just reeling from the fact that they had such a terrible election. That is a possibility. I think the progressive wing of the Democratic Party might try to push something through or force something. But fortunately, there is still a majority in the House, a Republican majority. And Mike Johnson and his team are very pro-Israel. And the Senate, it's still tight. It's 50-50, and then Harris is the tiebreaker. So that's possible. I don't know what they would do. Yeah. One thing that they could do is hold back more weapons from Israel. So all in all, it might be a little bit different than 2016, and I certainly remember that. And I think we just need to continue to pray that this doesn't happen.
So as we speak, again, Bill Koenig, watch.org, WATCH.org, sign up for his weekly e-newsletter. Check out both books that he's written. Bill, as we speak, anti-Semitism is simply raging in Europe. My hunch is it's going to spread from country to country. It's in the process of doing that. Tell me how you see this. Ultimately, I guess I'm going to just be blunt and say God allows it. It's causing Jews to go back to Israel. Give me your thoughts.
Totally agree. Tanya and I were in Rotterdam, Netherlands, a couple weeks ago. And our Jewish friends, longtime friends of Tanya's, mother and son, were talking about how difficult it was for Jewish people to be in Europe and also in the Netherlands. And then a few days later, we just left Amsterdam Airport. We had this big event between the Arabs and the Jews over a soccer game. I've talked to Jewish people in France and the UK, even during our trip to Israel. And unfortunately, Jan, this anti-Semitism situation is getting worse and worse, and the tension's getting worse and worse. More and more Jews are leaving Europe and doing aliyah to Israel. So I think this is indicative of the times. Unfortunately, I don't see it improving and getting better. I just see it getting worse.
I do too. Right now, America's campuses have settled down somewhat. Perhaps springtime, it's going to heat up again. We had some incredible scenes coming out of our campuses not that long ago. In other words, America is not going to be in the shadows when it comes to anti-Semitism. Unfortunately, we're going to be right up front with everybody else.
Yeah, I think you got a little bit different administration. I think the Trump administration will be a lot harder and stronger, including changes at the Justice Department and also the FBI and whatnot. I think if this happens again, I think what's interesting is if, in fact, the Trump administration is going to push forward and try to make peace in the Middle East. One goal was try to get the war done as soon as possible with Israel and Hamas and also Hezbollah. But I think, Jan, if this continues and gets worse on our campus again, I think the crackdown will be much more significant with a Trump administration in place than previous.
Bill Koenig serves in the White House press corps. Bill, my last question, take a minute or more if you need it. Do you think Iran is going to keep trying one way or another, stealth ways or blatant, hiring somebody to do it, going to try to continue to take out President-elect Trump, or once he's in office, take out a new president?
Yes. And I think I mentioned this on your program a few years ago. I remember when Franklin Graham and Pat Robertson were so bold about Islam during the George W. Bush term. And I thought to myself, wow, these men are so courageous. Franklin Graham, Pat Robertson, telling it like it is about radical Islam. And the Lord put in my heart, they could not touch them, Robertson and Graham, if they wanted to. And I believe that President Trump has that kind of angelic support. And I think we need to continue to pray for that, pray for Vance, but pray that he will continue to have angelic support and security around him, that no weapon formed against him will prosper. And that's just something we need to continue to do, Jan. So that's my answer. And I still believe in the God of Israel that he will protect the president and vice president.
Thank you for being so blunt, Bill. We'll stay in touch. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you.
When I come back, I'm going to introduce part two of my programming, and you need to stick around, folks, because you're going to hear a warning that could save the life of somebody you love. So please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. Jan Markell's new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is now available. The book is a compilation of some of the best messages given at her Understanding the Times conferences in suburban Minneapolis over 20 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinzen, Jeff Kinley, and many more. And all examine these last days with hope and anticipation. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call our office Central Time, Monday through Friday, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or get on our newsletter list. When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is encouraging, uplifting, and is filled with messages that will fill you up and build you up, even in perilous times. Order yours today.
I don't think we can say it enough. Talking about necromancy or mediumship, these are literal demons taking over and putting thoughts and manifestations in a medium's mind to influence people, to take worship away from the one true living God and Christ Jesus, his son, and moving it to the dead, moving it to relatives who have passed away. And it's dangerous.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Here is Jan Markell to introduce the balance of today's programming.
In this segment, I'm turning the time over to our representatives, Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz. They are interviewing someone you need to hear. Her name is Jen Nitza. I guarantee you have somebody you love who is messing with the things that she's talking about that are very, very dangerous. She's been there. She's sounding the warning.
You believe in psychic readings?
I do.
We're going to do one live. I volunteered to have a famous guy.
In that show, we were talking about the fact that we all are just energies, vibrating frequencies. And you're saying that people or whatever life form it is on the other side is also an energy, and that their energies come through you. Why you?
Is your dad passed? Your dad?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are there two dads for you? I see two male figures.
Right away, when I'm connecting, there's a grandmother that's here that had passed, and there's a father that passed that's here that's with me. So is that your dad that departed?
Possibly.
And also, Abby, your grandmother that had passed that's here as well. Mm-hmm. Because both those souls are here on the other side, right behind you when I'm connecting.
Does mom pass too?
Mm-hmm. My mother and father are both passed.
And one of them either passed by their own birthday or one of them passed by a holiday?
But your grandmother's actually here with a baby that had passed as well. Do you know of a child that was lost within the family?
I do.
Abby's really...
Oh my God, look at all the kids. she's playing. He says, Matt, he says, please let them know that even though he was in an Ottoman, even though there was issues with my mind, he says, I want my son to know. He says that I was there and I know everything that they said to me.
The true religion of yoga is much more than just stretching. If you want to go stretch and keep your body in shape, go stretch and keep your body in shape. But if you start getting into yoga and all this meditation and all this trying to find your inner light and trying to improve your thinking, you're going to start falling slowly into this new age version of yoga.
I remember when I was a young kid, I used to see spirits all the time. I used to see lights around people and colors around people. And I knew as a child, I used to see these things. And to me, I thought everybody could see them. Divine Heavenly Parent, we ask your blessing upon this meeting today. Dear spirit friends, please draw near to me. Give us glimpses of eternity.
Welcome to the program. Should people consult with psychics and mediums? And can these people actually connect with loved ones and those that have passed on? Well, we'll answer some of those questions with our guest, best-selling author, former psychic and medium, Jen Nitza. Jen, we want to welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. For those that don't know you, just give us a little history on your background and how you became involved in the ministry that you're involved with.
Sure. I was a psychic medium saved by Jesus Christ at the age of 37. So I'm saved now for 11 years. And a few years ago, the Lord brought me to TikTok, oddly enough.
Wow.
My mission field is the technology field out there, which I am not great with, but praise God that He is the one who equips us to do His will and the purpose that He has for us. So He has brought me into full-time ministry, exposing the new age and occultic practices that I once was a part of, and educating people about these practices. My prayer is that people would turn away from that and come to Christ.
Absolutely. Amen. As are we. We're praying for that also. We are hoping that this program, there's people out there that are watching this that will understand what they're actually involved with. To that extent, were you busy? I mean, did you have a lot of clients?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my business, when I started professionally reading, it was word of mouth. Like I said, I'm not technologically savvy. So not that we had Instagram at that time, and we didn't have TikTok, and we didn't have YouTube, we didn't have any of that. But I didn't even have a website. I didn't even promote myself anywhere. I just had a little business card and did my readings and then would hand it to the client. And I would get a lot of repeat business and new clients as well, all word of mouth. I did a lot of parties, group readings. I was busy.
That's fascinating. So could you walk us through that a little bit? Like, what was your process? What would you use? How would you interact with different clients? And what would be some main things that they would ask for?
Firstly, I'd like to say that it was out of this compassion that I have in my heart for people that are suffering, that I really believed I was helping people. So the people would come, and my process, right before they would come, I had a little ritual. So I would burn white sage, which is called smudging. And I believed that that would rid my room, rid myself of any quote unquote negative energies that, of course, I would not have called demons at the time. I didn't acknowledge anything as a demon. And I would light a candle. I would meditate, and really altering my state of mind. And kind of what I call a little escape, like you go away somewhere, which leaves you vulnerable to demonic oppression, demonic entryway. So this would enable these demons, of course, now we know that they are, right? Demons to come into the space, preparing me for the person who was about to sit before me.
Wow.
Then I would give an explanation. I only had the person's name on a piece of paper, so automatic writing was a part of my reading as well.
Wow.
I just kept a notebook and a pen on my lap, and I would give my introduction and say to the people, say nothing. I don't want you to add to anything I'm saying. Just say yes or no if you understand the pieces of information that I'm giving you. And then, like I said, I would either scribble or I would end up drawing. I was channeling on paper and in speech while I was sitting before the people.
Oh my word, that is insane, especially for you to be able to look back at that now and see that that was demonic. Yet your compassion deep within your heart to help the people there was what was driving you. That's kind of mind-boggling to me. And even before we came on air, we were having a little bit of a conversation talking about real versus pretend mediums. Can you just break that down a little bit?
Well, a real medium, because, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Pastor Josh, because mediumship is real.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I was a medium, mediums are communicating with familiar spirits, aka demons, aka fallen angels. A fake psychic or fake medium is somebody who might be doing a cold reading. I often think of the $5 palm readers. So people that are looking for cues, they're going to throw some information out and see what you catch, see what your expressions are. Are you wearing wedding rings? Do you have tattoos? It's very unfortunate that people would want to do that to scam people for money, playing on their vulnerabilities and their sadness and insecurities. Either way, like I mentioned in our conversation, pretending to be a diviner is no better than being a diviner.
And that's just human nature, right? We're going to prey on whomever we can to make a buck or to get up above them. So it just shows the broken human heart. Yet your heart, you didn't want to prey on people. You wanted to help people. So you thought in your quote unquote innocence at the time that you were going to help them through necromancy or whatever thing it was that you were talking to them about. In general, what would you say is the most common thing that people would ask of you?
The most common thing they wouldn't even ask, it would be that they were there to connect with somebody that they lost, somebody that they were grieving over, a mom, a dad, a child, a spouse. So they would wait to hear if the connection came through. In regards to psychic information or psychic readings, because some people did still just want to hear psychic information, they would ask about jobs, they would ask about when they were going to have the baby, they would ask about when they're going to find the love of their life, things like that. These huge things that are questions, I guess, before coming to Christ in a way. You may still have some questions about your life, but in Christ, we trust in God's plan for us and his will for our life and submit that to him. Very different when you're not in Christ. You're thinking those are things that are going to bring you happiness and they're things that would fulfill you, and they're not. Only Christ can fulfill us.
And we're hearing, did you have a number of Christians and or pastors that would come to you for readings?
Well, what is a Christian, right? Who is right. a Christian? So starting there, I can actually only remember a couple of people that were professing Catholics that came. Well, actually, there were a lot of self-professing Catholics. Now that I'm thinking back, in the group readings and stuff, a lot of people would just say that they were Catholic.
Sure.
And there was actually this one woman, and I will not say names or anything like that. There's no need to do that. There was a woman I was called in to consult. This woman was on the DL. If you know what that means, it's on the down low. Yeah. And she was very active in the Catholic Church. To me, that shows that somewhere she knew what she was doing was wrong, that it sure. was so undercover.
So that video we looked at, how accurate is that? You actually know some of these people that we showed in the video. How accurate is that? I know we showed them on newscasts and television programs and documentaries. Is that pretty much how it goes?
I don't know the people that you showed, but I know of them. I know you have another video that we're going to be talking about with some people that were close to my heart. However, John Edwards, I remember his show crossing over with my child was very, very little, and I'd be watching his show just enamored with what he was doing. To answer your question, yes, that is very standard psychic mediumship work.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. If you notice the questions and the I feel like mom wants you to know, or did you lose two dads? I think it was in the beginning of the clip. Did you lose two dads or two people like a dad? And that really brings me back because I remember, well, dad is here, stepdad, granddad, somebody who's like your dad.
Right.
But like that father figure, like a man that's older than you, loving you. So can we talk about that for a second?
Because absolutely. Sure.
Great. Okay. So psychic communication is the counterfeit of prophecy. So psychic communication is knowledge, secret knowledge, given by demons who do not know all things, who are not, like you said, they're not omnipresent, they're not omniscient, okay? They're phony balonies is what they are, okay? So they're counterfeit version. So notice that when God would speak his word to the prophets in the Bible, there was no maybe it's this, maybe it's that, I feel this way. Oh no, that's God's declaration, which is true. There's no confusion in that. So you can see, you have to, now being in Christ, I can see that, but I couldn't see that then. Look for those little cracks, right? Because there will be no confusion when it's from God. There's going to be a lot of questions. And that's an area where people who are ignorant spiritually, and I say that with all love in my heart, they truly have no knowledge of it. So they might say that none of this is true when it is, would use that to say that they're cold readers or they're charlatans or hucksters. And that's not the case. That really is this foggy, subjective way sometimes that this information is coming through, because it's coming from demons. There's no certainty.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
only the past things, the things that the demons have seen, they can report with 100% accuracy. Right. And there will be accuracy in readings. There has to be. Otherwise, why would you go?
Let's take a look at that video you were alluding to earlier, and I want to get your take on this.
You're about to meet the medium celebrities turn to when they want to communicate with the dead, including that other famous psychic from Long Island.
Did she pass tragically?
Yeah, I'm the youngest Jonestown survivor.
We invited John Edwards on, who is a kind of a well-known psychic. And whether you believe in it or not, there is no explanation for what he does on this show.
But how much of this is real? Is Russo just a really good reader of body language and verbal clues? Or can she really see dead people?
So somebody like myself, I'm a psychic, but I'm also a medium. So that means that as a psychic, I have the ability to tune into energy and talk about what's happening now in your life, pick up on the line of probability from your past to your present, and project, I don't like the word project where you're going.
In the spirit of Halloween, we decided to put the celebrity medium to the test.
It was a fully charged battery.
Russo warned us her highly charged presence can sometimes affect tech equipment.
When you're around, the mics don't work?
The spirit world interferes with the frequencies that are here.
Uh-huh.
And they run on a frequency, too. Uh-huh.
But isn't it normal, listen, that you're talking about having psychic ability or this energy, you're talking about connecting with death.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of dying?
No.
No.
And my grandma's been gone since 1996. My mom's been gone since 1989. You come to my events when I'm doing them, you will hear them. I keep them very much present.
You're watching Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me is Pastor Josh Schwartz. We're with author and former psychic and medium Jen Nitza. Make sure that you download our app at olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. Jen, you just saw that video. Are people actually connecting and intervening with spirits and who they think are actual dead people, relatives, friends, and so on?
Oh, 100%. These are familiar spirits. These are demons. They are not deceased people, though, but that is what I believed, and that is what psychic mediums believed. It's complete deception by the devil. That's what it is. But absolutely communicating with demons who have been around for ages, who know more about your family than you do.
Right.
Know things for many, many years, have been watching and praying, P-R-E-Y, on the vulnerable.
So have you ever experienced like a physical manifestation of these in your presence when you were doing these?
Oh, many times. Yes, many times. When I would do readings, I mentioned before I would do some automatic writing, but I also would hear things, some audible things. I would get downloaded information. So just write into your own, almost like how you hear your own thoughts when you're thinking about something. It was not my thoughts. It would just be information about the person sitting in front of me. And sometimes I would see a familiar spirit. So I could describe, okay, so mom is over here and she had red hair and this is what they do. They appear the way that they need to get that information out, for it to be clear to me, to get it out to them so that they would be now on the proverbial hook.
So in essence, what you're saying is demonic spirits actually do intervene in these sessions, manifesting either physically or audibly in not the flesh, but in the spirit form. Now, the first time we showed you that video that we just saw, you reacted to it because you personally know the woman in the video there. Just tell us a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah, you're right. I did. When I first saw the video, I saw Kim there, and I get a little choked up now. I really love her, and I pray that God would save her.
Mm.
She and I became pretty close, just having lunches. We read each other a lot. We would just call each other and say, hey, let's get together. You want to read each other? And we would do that, and we would do these lunches and everything. And I have a lot of love in my heart for her. I also know Teresa. Teresa and I read each other, but maybe once or twice. We weren't as close. But my heart goes out to these ladies. I'm a Long Islander. We were all in the same circles here. And I'm just so sad to see
absolutely
them being run by demons.
Yeah, because that's literally what it is. I don't think we can say it enough, talking about necromancy or mediumship. These are literal demons taking over and putting thoughts and manifestations in a medium's mind to influence people, to take worship away from the one true living God and Christ Jesus, his son, and moving it to the dead, moving it to relatives who have passed away. And it's dangerous. And we see all throughout the scriptures, it's being spoken against. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's spoken against. In the book of Acts, it's spoken against. Even Paul and Silas are sent to jail in Philippi because they cast out a demon from a fortune-telling young slave girl. So these are negative things that truly do exist today to take away worship from God. Now, Jen, one question for you is, and this might be a hard one for all of us, is this prevalent in the church today? Is there soothsaying? Is there mediumship? Is there, quote-unquote, new prophecy taking place in the church today?
I absolutely believe that there is. I actually recently did a video called Psychics in the Church, and these are these false prophets that are rising up, and they are really psychics. That's what they are. We're not seeing this new general revelation happening. We have the complete Word of God, and they're getting psychic information, things that wouldn't even pertain to prophecy, things that God wouldn't have even told a biblical prophet. God wasn't telling biblical prophets, go brush your hair, or the new job is going to start with the word frog, or what have you. But we're seeing this a lot in the church. We're even seeing divination cards. We're seeing the Enneagram. We're seeing yoga. So we're seeing a lot of new age practices in the church.
Can we dig into that just a second? I mean, I know it might be off topic, but this Enneagram, New Age, yoga in the church, why should we stand firm against those things?
So you actually, in your first video, you had somebody talking about yoga, and he said it could get into New Age yoga. All yoga is New Age. It is a Hindu spiritual practice. You want to stay away from it because you cannot separate the spiritual component of yoga. It is yoga. It's the heart of their spirituality. They are worshiping false gods, these deities, which there are many of these Hindu false deities. And these postures are deliberate. They're not some sort of just exercising, stretching and breathing, which is what the enemy would want you to believe. And then prey on your health issues, prey on your anxieties, telling you you can do this as long as you slap on some worship music, put some scripture up on your wall and get your yoga mat out, so that you can be calmed from your anxiety and help your arthritis. But that's just not true. You cannot Christianize Hinduism. It's not going to happen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to make a decision as to whom we're going to serve. And putting our bodies into these graven images is extremely dangerous and a demonic entryway for the Christian as much as it is for the unbeliever.
Absolutely. And it's good you mentioned that, because Christians are fully involved in watching movies. We know that Hollywood is a huge influence, and the music industry also. I mean, the music industry, what they're putting out there right now, we've watched the Grammys and what happened with Sam Smith and what he did. But not only secular music, but Christian music. Now, it's crept into Christian music, where we're seeing now all these demonic symbols and demonic signs being put up. Have you witnessed any of that, or do you? I know it affects children the most. It affects our youth, and I know you have a heart for young people. Can you speak into that, how it's affecting our youth?
The music industry is completely promoting and pushing witchcraft and any sort of anti-Christian agenda, and there are Christian people that are still letting their kids listen to Taylor Swift and watch the Grammys, and they're so vulnerable children. They don't have the shield of protection. And we've seen some young people come to Christ, but let's be honest, it takes time to come to Christ and to be aware, right? You're praying for your kids, but then if you're letting them watch Taylor Swift, who, by the way, my friend, the devil isn't hiding. He's not hiding. He's right out in the open to desensitize the masses. Hey, no big deal. This is just trendy. Don't get into it with your kids. Let them keep up with the Joneses, right? Let them do the popular things. And then it gets viral on TikTok. I talk about Taylor Swift a lot. And I pray for her. I pray that she would be saved and use her platform for Christ. That would be so awesome. But as it is right now, it's anything but Christ.
Right.
And these are young people. As a matter of fact, you know what I said recently? She's no role model. She's a cult leader. That's what she is. She is the leader of a cult, C-U-L-T. These people are flocking. Talk about worship, idolatry. They are worshiping Taylor, and she is performing witchcraft rituals on stage, and her lyrics completely talk about New Age ideologies and concepts. This is extremely dangerous to put your kids under this influence. It opens doors for them. And I always say this to parents. Number one, we're not called to be their buddies. We're called to be their parents, that our children are a gift from God. But also, you don't know what's all the hidden parts in your children's heart. Are they getting bullied? Are they upset with their own reality? Are they wanting to control their circumstances and reality, just like the witch with the quote unquote powers that they have? And here are these toys, and here are these lyrics. And this is how to be in relationships, invisible string, karma. This is what they're hearing, which is going to drive them further and further away from the truth, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Excellent points, Jen. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Well, you've been listening to Understanding Our Times. Our guest today has been Jen Nitza, author and former psychic and medium. Jen, just as we go out of the program here, if there are those out there that are seriously considering going to a psychic or medium, what would your best advice be?
To instead come to Christ today. Please don't go to see these. The person is deceived by the devil, and they're only communicating with demons. The dead do not communicate with the living. So you're going there, and you're placing your faith and your trust in demons who hate God and who hate you. There is no help. There is no fulfillment. There is no peace. You can only get peace in Christ. And God is a good father, and he will comfort you through your loss, through your grief. He's the only one that can, and provide for you during that. Provide for you a biblically sound church, the brethren to hold you up. And I'm on the heels of a loss right now. And this really hits home for me, no longer being a psychic medium and being able to come to God, who is so loving and kind and who is the truth. Understanding the evil that I was dealing with then, that wasn't my grandma, my grandfather, and that just kept me on a hamster wheel and away from the Lord. So please, please resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the temptation. He's the tempter. Come to Christ, the only way, truth, and life.
Excellent advice, Jen. Couldn't agree more. I just want to thank you for your time today, and I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. How can they get a hold of you?
The best way would be through my website, www.xpsychicsaved.com.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. And Jen, keep up the fight, keep up the good work, and may the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you both.
Josh, that's just invaluable information. And I know you've got a verse that you'd like to share with our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And these things, New Ageism, mysticism, mediums, necromancy, it's all just bombarding our culture. I can't wait to have Jen on again to talk about crystals and yoga and all this stuff more.
Right.
But the truth is this, friends, James 2:19 says this, "You believe that God is one, you do well." Now check this out. "Even the demons believe and shudder." They know that God is real. They see him. They have been cast out of heaven by him. They are fallen angels. And the reality is this, there is a spiritual battle going on between good and evil, light and darkness. And the only way to be on team light is through Christ Jesus. The book of Revelation ends very clearly with a gospel message. This is what Jesus says to John on how to end the most prophetic, symbolic book in the New Testament. He says this, Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Then Jesus said, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers and idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come. This is the invitation, friend. If you are dancing in the middle between light and darkness, goodness and evil, we beg you, come to Christ Jesus. He is, as Jen said multiple times, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. There is life in Christ. All you must do is believe in him. Put your faith in Christ Jesus and his completed work for your sin on your behalf. So will you trust in Jesus today?
Say, we've covered a lot of territory this hour, from politics to the supernatural. According to 2 Timothy 3:1, we're living in an age that will be marked by perilous world events. We're living in a generation that faces global threats no other generation has ever known. We encourage you to put on the whole armor of God if you are to cope with an enemy agenda that will get you down and come against you and everyone you love. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be assured that nothing is out of control, because God is always in control. He is the loving shepherd giving his life for the sheep. He orchestrates all things to play out so that all that is predicted can fall into place.